You heard Doper Than Dope. My name is Teacher. Keep it real. Hip hop.
What's up? It's Reverie, and you're now tuned in to Doper Than Dope.
This is Doper Than Dope.
Doper Than Dope.
Doper Than Dope.
My name is Suki.
This is MC Melody.
Ich bin Haskara.
I'm Jürgen Blackrock.
My name is DP.
My name is Rebecca Lane.
What's cracking, y'all? It's your girl Gavlin.
Big shout out to Doper Than Dope.
Doper Than Dope.
Doper Than Dope.
Keep it fresh. That's how we do.
Hi, it's Nifty and you're listening to Doper Than Dope. Today we're gonna go back, and I mean way back, in 2015. I organized an event and got Reverie and DJ Lala from Los Angeles to perform in Weimar. The night after the show we got together to do an interview, and when the recording started, you can kind of tell we were all exhausted, but I promise you the energy is gonna go up, and towards the end it's even gonna get really emotional. That being said, keep in mind this interview is almost 10 years old. You will hear I had to re-record some of the questions, and also I believe I do ask smarter and more interesting questions nowadays. But still, this is going to be a good introduction to two of the best in the hip-hop scene, Reverie and DJ Lala. Okay, so we're sitting here with Reverie and DJ Lala, who are in Weimar for their very first time, and they were performing last night in Mon Ami. So I wanted to ask you, how was it? How was your first time in Weimar?
Weimar was excellent. I had a great time. It was my first time here, and it was a really great vibe. The people were, it was just, I don't know, it was like a vibe I've never experienced before, but it was a great night.
Yeah. For me, it was cool too. I really enjoy Reverie's vibe everywhere I travel to, so it was real cool. I'm enjoying Germany for sure.
Yeah, also the crowd really loved it. They were so excited to see you. They were so much into you. It was awesome. So you're touring a lot. How is it when you're on tour? What are the best moments and the worst moments or things of being on tour?
The best moments are usually the shows. Yeah, for sure. The shows are almost always the highlight of the city. You know, getting to connect with my fans and tell my story to people is always an amazing thing for me. You know, no matter how many times I do it, no matter how many times I've been to the city or not been to the city, for me, performing is probably my favorite thing about making music. So performing is always really fun for me. And then also getting to see other parts of the world. And even when I'm in my country and other places in the country, it's really cool. I love traveling. Traveling is amazing. It's so educational, and it broadens my mind and my thoughts, you know, and just really helps to help me progress mentally, you know, and emotionally, and, you know, just everything, you know. I feel like the more I see of the world, the more I understand that people are all so different, but we're also so similar, and we all need the same things. And I think the more I see that is actually a real thing, the more I can be a better person and be a better me, you know. But yeah, so traveling, and then the food, oh my God, the food everywhere, hearing the different languages is amazing. I'm making new friends, you know, in other areas is dope. And then probably the worst things are getting sick on tour, because our bodies are so stressed out, you know, we're not sleeping, we're not eating right, we're not comfortable, you know, we're in air-conditioned planes for hours, so, you know, we're all dry, and then we're drinking every night, so we're more dry, and, you know, and it's crazy, you know, touring is really physically demanding, and then also, like, being away from your loved ones, like, is hard. I'm finally getting the hang of it, you know, I've been touring so much lately that I'm finally learning to really be okay with not feeling comfortable in a mental way, you know. So now that I'm mastering that feeling, it's becoming a lot more enjoyable for me, you know. But for a while, it was really hard to be away from everyone I know and love. But now I'm just learning to just live like in the moment and just feel more free and not tied down to anything, you know. So I think living in the moment is really important when you're touring too. Yeah.
I really enjoy touring. I get to, well, this is my second tour with Reverie. I've toured with other artists as well, but touring with Reverie is really dope because I think we've like experienced a lot in like a little bit of time, you know? And it's just like, whoa, you know, it's a different experience, but I love it, you know? And then, like she said, I enjoy going to all the different places and learning, you know, learning all the cultures and the languages and you know, pretty much, yeah, I feel like how you feel. Like it really does open your mind and you're not, I feel like when you're a lot of people that are born and out there, there's some prejudice going on because of the history, you know, and things like that. So, you know, like out there when you have a kid, it's like, okay, the boy, if you're gonna have a boy, it's usually the color blue, you know, or the girl's usually the color pink. And I feel like it shouldn't really be that way, you know? So I feel like the more traveling I do, the more open I am to my mind being freely, like, you know, like learning from everybody out here. And yeah, I love the music. My favorite part is probably digging. Like, I don't really get to do it as much when I tour, but when I do, it's like an amazing feeling. And every time I play that record, it'll like, oh, I got this in, you know, like, yeah. Czech Republic or like whatever, you know. So it's tight. Yeah, it's dope.
Has anyone of you ever been on tour with someone and at first you thought like that would be a cool experience, but then you figured out, oh, actually I can't really be on tour with that person? Because I can imagine you spend so much time together now when you're on tour. You really have to get along or else it will be like a horrible experience probably. Has anyone of you ever experienced like being on tour with someone and then you find out, okay, actually maybe we shouldn't have been on tour together?
It's usually like the opposite, you know, like, I mean, luckily for me, I throw most of my own tours. So I know who I'm going to be with and I know who I'm going to be working with. So I won't invite anybody that I don't know it's going to go like really smooth, you know. Luckily, I'm in control for that most part. But one time I did have to go on a tour with a couple people, with a few people that we didn't know. And then at first it was kind of weird, you know, like doing that. And then at the end, like, of course, everyone was friends and everyone was cool. And it was really dope. Yeah. I mean, I've been lucky. So I guess I've been lucky. I don't know. It was actually shout outs to O'Shea and Josh Graham and Kermit. That's what I'm talking about. I didn't know they were going to even be on the tour with us, you know. And then it just ended up being a really great thing. It was when I went to the Midwest for the first time. Yeah.
I don't really have up to this day any problem touring with different artists. For me, it's always, it's so interesting. I think as a DJ to see other artists have their own way of touring, you know, or their own way of exploring the world. And I actually really appreciate that, you know. I get to see everybody else's way of life, if you really say, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. And then all the art that I get exposed to is cool too. But no, I don't really have problems with artists, or I haven't really had a bad experience or anything like that. I've enjoyed it all, I think.
How do you feel about the hip-hop scene in California?
In my personal experience about my generation only, that's the only people I could speak for because I know every generation has their own experience, but in my generation of Los Angeles hip hop, I think that our generation is so unified and everyone who's at least part of the scene I've been a part of for years. I mean, we're all kind of breaking out of that scene for a little bit because some of us are just reaching new levels of our fans bases pretty much. But for the people that I started with, everyone has always been so supportive and really just respectful and helpful, and I guess supportive would be the main word, you know. And now as all of us are like finally breaking out of that scene and becoming our own separate entity on a large scale, we're still all really cool and get along with each other, you know. I was telling you, I go out with Gavlin and O'Blimey all the time. My boyfriend, Self-Provoked, is also part of our scene. We've been together for 5 years. So, you know, like everyone has just been growing and growing together. So it's really beautiful. Like, I mean, that's at least my perspective. Because, you know, I talk to some other people and they're like, people don't show love. I'm like, I don't know. I've always been shown love. But also, I've always given love. You know, that's important too. People forget that you have to reciprocate what you want to get. You know, you have to give if you want to receive. You know, so, and I guess I didn't even always expect love from people. But I just like to help other people, you know. So I've always made sure to make that a part of my name and what I'm doing with my movement, I guess, you know. Yeah.
I think the same, I feel. It's so crazy because you pretty much say everything that I was thinking. It's like, I don't really know what else to say. But yeah, pretty much the way Reverie broke that all down, for sure.
I also, I enjoy it so much. I think it's so refreshing. I like to watch the Cypher Effect videos, and I think it is so cool also to see you like all together, like Oplimy, Gavlin, Well the Wonder, Drumfree, you. It's like so cool to see all of you like doing it together and supporting each other so much. That's so cool. So I'm wondering, which role did it play to have this support with your crew to also be or become a successful artist, or the artist you are today?
I think it definitely does help that all of us lean on each other and support each other and just really try to reach each other. I mean, try to like bring each other up at the same time, you know. But I also feel like it also is a lot of individual work as well. Like, we all work as individuals, and a lot of the times, especially now that we're like the people who have really like been really successful basically in our scene or whatever, it's like we share each other's music, but we all also have our individual fan base, and each individual fan base is not always going to be such a fan as I am of other artists' music, you know. So, and it's going to be the same with them too. Like, their fans are not going to like me just because I like, because they like me, you know. So it helps, it definitely helps to help each other out like that. But I also feel like it takes a lot of individual work. All of us have worked really hard individually as well, and I think it shows, you know, like who has been working hard and who hasn't, and either way, it's all love, you know, but it definitely does help. It definitely does help, yeah. But I definitely think that you can't rely on others to make your career go anywhere either, though, you know. Like, people forget that. People are like, oh, let's do a song so I could blow up. I'm like, man, if it was that easy, I would have tried to do a song with somebody that was blown up already, you know. So, like, it's not just about that, I guess, is my point, yeah.
I feel like... with me, it's been real cool with all the girls. To be honest, I've DJed for every one of them that you mentioned. So for me, it's just, you know, I'm just chilling with my records, you know what I mean? Enjoying like art, enjoying hip hop. But the girls have definitely worked their asses off. And it's really nice to see their individual fans, like how she was saying, as well as like them appreciate. It's not like I'm only a Reverie fan. Like some fans are really like, yeah, Reverie, like that's my top bitch, you know. But I also like this girl too. Like, but I'm down for her though, you know. But like, it's like cool, you know. It's tight. And for me, it's really nice that they've all showed me love, you know. And I've had really good experiences with each one of them. And but right now, I live in the present too, you know. So, or at least I try to. So right now, I'm having a really great time on Reverie's tour, and it's just chill, you know. Like, it's pretty easygoing. Like, it's not. It's just good vibes, and I really appreciate all of it. Yeah, it's tight.
A big part of your fan base seem to enjoy the more boom bap sound of your music. Does that influence how you create your art?
A lot of my fan base is very selective and prejudiced against any other kind of hip hop than boom bap hip hop, you know, and they have like, a lot of my fan base is like, I guess maybe not a lot, but a large portion of my fan base is like made of like hip hop Nazis. Okay, that's what I call them. I call them hip hop Nazis because they only want hip hop to sound and look like this. And if it sounds a little bit like this, it's not hip hop. You know, like if it doesn't have a 90s boom bap style golden era and that's how it has to sound, you know, they don't like it. And at first I was like, oh, I mean, that's cool. Like, I mean, yeah, I guess that's what I only used to rap over beats like that, you know. But now that I'm really becoming my own artist and having my own sound, I'm not sounding like that anymore, you know. And a lot of people don't like that. And that's okay, you know. At first I used to be like, oh, well, why can't you guys like all kinds of hip hop? But then I'm like, you know what, it's okay. They're not open to hearing anything else that's going to sound different. And that's okay. You know, I'm not going to try to reach those people. That's okay. They could bump my first two mixtapes. If that's all you like, then that's cool. You know, I still appreciate that love. But, you know, I'm trying to do my own thing and sound the way I want to sound, you know. And I used to care more about those people that were going to say I was selling out or sounding different or whatever. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm an artist and I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm not going to let some YouTube comments telling me I need to sound a certain way make me do otherwise. You know, I'm not scared to be myself and tell my story. So I'm not scared to sound how I want to sound either. You know, the older I get and the more music I'm making, the more I realize what I do want to sound like. And I'm finally, like, I feel like this next album that I'm going to come out with is going to sound exactly how I want it to sound. And I'm going to be more involved on the production than I've ever been, pretty much. And so I'm really excited. But but I also feel like most of my fan base is really open-minded. And I have rapped over so many kinds of beats and done so many kinds of songs that I feel like they're open to it. You know, like they're not going to be surprised if I do like a drum and bass song or like something, or like even a rave song. You know, like I guess I'm really open about who I am and what I listen to. So my fans aren't really surprised with anything I come out with, I guess. I don't know. I just do what I want.
Yeah, well, when I was first listening to her music, to Reverie's music, I was curious, like, with one track, and then I would hear the next track, and then it was like, okay. Like her, even in her voice was a little bit different, you know. Some songs are very like, I can totally, like Fine is like one that you can really, her energy is really like transfers through the track, which is really cool because you're just sitting there and you can feel it, right? So who would have known that you can hear something and then feel it at the same time? Like, it's just crazy to me. But for me, like, as a DJ, I feel like it's really important to be open-minded. I don't ever like to just spin one type of genre. And I've always been very opinionated about that because I feel like it's important. I feel like that with art. I like dark stuff and as well as I like romantic stuff as well as like funky. Like I do that with the way I dress. I do that with the way I think. Like I really live by that. To not go one lane, you know. So the artists that I've DJed for are very very same too. Like I don't put myself in just like, oh, I just want to spin for artists that are like underground hip-hop. Like I've spun for artists are like rap, West Coast rappers, or like maybe like singers, or maybe like a punk band, or like things like that. Like I like to be open-minded, so it's really tight. Yeah,
I feel like if you box yourself in and you only let people see you one way, they're not going to be as like receptive when you be another way, like when you show another side of you. You know, they're going to think, instead of them thinking that you're just showing another side of your art and who you are, they're going to automatically assume that you're trying to be something else. You know, and luckily, I decided to basically start like that, like being who I wanted to be and stuff. So now people are open to it, you know. Like I feel bad sometimes when I see artists who have been doing a certain thing forever, and then I see they come out with something completely different, and everyone's like, oh, they're fake, oh, they're selling out. And I'm like, I don't know, I think they wanted to always do that, and then they just took too long to do it, and now everyone hates them. Like, it sucks because most of those people who are gonna say those things don't make art. And they don't realize that people are constantly progressing in their art as well as everything else in their life, you know. And I wish that people would be, like you said, perfect words is open-minded, you know, like I wish people would be more open-minded, because the more open your mind is, like, the more you can enjoy the world and understand the world, you know, because you're just limiting your perspective of everything when you are not open-minded, you know. And you could, like you said, you could go, it could be about how you dress or the music you listen to or the food you eat. Like, the more you box yourself in, the less you're going to enjoy an experience in life, you know.
I think that's also what really, at least for me, it really stands out about your music, because sometimes you have artists who have like this one style mainly, which is also okay, I'm not judging, but like with you, it's like, you know, when sometimes, I don't know, you're sad and then you listen to this one artist, but you can't listen to that person when you're happy or anything. Yeah. And with you, you have like a song for each emotion that I can feel. So it's so cool. I can basically listen to you all the time, no matter how I feel.
Instead of selling your music online, you put it out for free. Why?
A lot of people ask me that question. And it's funny because when I first started doing that, I didn't really think about the fact that it was really nice to give your music out for free. Like, I guess it is pretty nice. But honestly, the reason that I do it is because, well, over the years it's become because it is a nice thing to do too. Like, but honestly, I don't think people should try to sell music anymore. Like, I mean, I think you should try, but a lot of people don't pay for music anymore. So I think it's kind of like you're, again, it's another thing, like you're just limiting the reach. You know, a lot of people don't pay for music. I don't pay for music. I probably buy like 5 albums a year, and I have only bought like 5 songs ever on iTunes or something. But like, I don't really like paying for stuff for music unless I've listened to the, if I listen to an album like 20 times, then I'll buy it. You know, like, because I'm like, damn, I must really like this shit. I better show some support, you know, I better like, you know, but like if it's just like one song and I don't really like the whole album, like, I don't really want to pay for it, you know, like, I don't know. I guess that's, to me, that's just how today is in 2015. Nobody pays for music. And so I feel like I always have the option to pay for my music and then to not pay for it, because I'm open to people. I'm open to just putting my music anywhere it can go, you know. And if somebody saw my music video on YouTube and they're like, oh, I like her music, where can I get it? Like, and then their friend like sends them a download link from an iTunes, and iTunes, you can't even hear all the songs. You hear like 10 seconds of them. You know, they might be like, I don't want to risk $10, you know. And but if it's for free, oh, okay, I'll download her music for free for sure. And then I can show everyone else for sure, you know, like. And to me, I found that giving out my music, I speak for myself only because I've only been tracking my own career, but giving out my music for free has helped a lot, you know. It might not look as good on YouTube, because I've noticed that my songs have a lot less plays. Not my music videos. The music videos are good, but the songs that I have online have a lot less plays than the other artists that only have their songs on YouTube and iTunes. They don't give their music out for free. So their YouTube views will be a lot better. They will be. But I don't care about YouTube views. I don't care. I want to just get my music to everyone that wants it. And like, even like, I just think it's a good promo. Like, giving your shit away for free is such good promo. Like, I can tell people like, download my music here for free, you know. Or like, even like, I always, wherever I go, when I'm on tour or even when I'm in LA, I always have CDs in my purse, and I try to give out at least one CD per day. Like, whether I'm like having if I have a cool conversation with somebody at the store, like, oh, you like hip hop? Like, yeah, oh, check my demo. You know, if I had a cool conversation with whoever's making my food or whatever, like, I always try to just give out CDs. Like, I think it's just good promo to get yourself out there. Like, realistically, I mean, at least for me, you know, there is some artists that do have their fan base pays for their music, you know, like, and they break the charts and blah, blah, you know. I'm not one of those artists, okay? I'll tell you that right now. I sell a very little bit on iTunes and Bandcamp and all that shit. Nobody pays for my music. You know, I get a little bit more money from like my Spotify plays and Pandora and stuff like that. But the most that I make is from physical copies. And those are going to be like people that are ordering online when they're already a fan, you know. But I'm sure they didn't buy the music right away. I'm sure they heard it for free online, you know. And for me, I think it's really smart in this day and age to give out your music for free. Yeah. I'm sorry, I went on like a rant. And shit. Like, no, but it's funny, but also like, I do like giving my fans music for free. I've only put out 2 albums that I even had the option to pay for, you know, and that's because they were like albums and even though they're up for free too, though, you know, like, but like, I don't know, I guess those two albums are the only projects that I've actually really been like satisfied with too. So I guess that's the option why I put it up for purchase. But my other music, I guess I haven't really been like 100% like happy with it either to even say it was an album. So I guess that's why I haven't done that. But no, like every, I'm not going to do it this year, but like the last four Christmases, I think it's been. Yeah, I did four Christmas albums the last 4 years. And every year that's like my present for my fans, like even a free album, you know. So I guess it is because I like to give it out for free too, like as a present. But as the albums, like not really for the albums.
I enjoy, well, most of your songs, but I really like the ones like Call Me Daydream, While I'm Still Here, like all those songs where you're stagnant, like those songs where you talk about your life and it's so honest. I really appreciate it so much. And you also, you make it really, you show how you've grown from like where you started and where you're now and the struggles you had. So it's like really deep, really honest. And I think that's like so awesome because you have, I guess you have, by now you have a lot of rap artists who are not that honest anymore, who are like pretending to be, I don't know, gangster or whatever, but then they're not. Oh my goodness, yeah. So, why did you choose to be or to have those texts that are so honest, which also make you vulnerable in a way, because you know you basically just open your heart, so you show all your struggles. Why did you decide to do that?
You know, it wasn't really like a set decision that I made for myself, honestly. Like when I started making rap music, I was like 17 or 18, and I recorded the song because I wanted to do it, and it was just for me. I used to write. I've always written poems since I was a little girl, and then when I was like in the junior high, they turned into raps when I discovered underground hip hop, and then I didn't record my first song until I was a senior in high school. But when I recorded it, I didn't show anybody. It was just for me, and then my friends were like, "Hey, when are you gonna show us what you recorded?" And I was like, I'm not going to show you guys. Like, it's for me. That's embarrassing. And they were like, what? You're not going to show us? You better show us. Fuck that. You know, and then I showed them and they were like, Jordan, this is really good. And I'm like, oh, it's not that good. It's like, all right. You know, and then they're like, no, this is really good. I'm going to show my cousin. You know, and then her cousin showed her friends and then their friends showed their friends. And then now I'm in fucking Germany, you know, 6 years later. It's fucking crazy. You know, like I never thought my music was ever going to do anything for me other than let me release something that I couldn't release without it. You know, like my music has always been therapeutic for me. Like even since the first songs that I ever made, like if you listen to the songs that I made when I was like 17, I'm talking about the same shit. I'm talking about my family problems. I'm talking about struggling with drug addiction. I'm talking about my friends in jail. I'm talking about losing people. I'm talking about being fucked over by my ex-boyfriends. You know, like my music has always been the same. It's always been a form of therapy. It's always been a form of therapy to me. I'm not really a good... Over the years, I've become a better communicator, but even still, I struggle with communicating my emotions to people, especially the people that I love. That's the hardest for me, to be honest with. I guess because that's who I'm most vulnerable around, you know, so it makes sense. But I guess that's just how I guess. And it's just the same. My music is the same. I still talk about those subjects. And, you know, I know I've gotten even deeper into my music because as you grow older, your problems become more complicated. You know, it just kind of goes that way. And my music, I just treat it the same. I treat it like it's what it is. It's my outlet. That's how I get rid of my stress and get rid of my anger and face my issues. You know, a lot of times I feel like once I record a song about something, once I feel a certain way and I can't get rid of the feeling, once I write it out and I'm saying it out loud and I see it written on a paper, to me it becomes like a fact. Like I can't deny it anymore. Like this is the issue. Am I going to get over it or not? You know, like actually physically seeing me admitting it is the first step of it. And then when I record it, I'm also now saying the truth in front of someone, whoever's recording me. So now it's really a fact. And then once I put it out, it's like, oh shit, like everyone's going to hear it. You know what? Fuck it. This happened. And now I can accept it and move on, you know. And that's always how my music's been since I was 17 years old, since I first recorded. It's just been therapy and just a way to say, you know what, this happened and it's okay. I'm going to keep going. I'll be okay. I made 100 songs like this before, so another one won't hurt, you know. Like, I guess it wasn't really like I didn't make a decision for my music to be like that. That's just how my music is. Like, and I guess it did probably stem from the people that I grew up listening to, you know. Like, I grew up listening to MERS and Atmosphere and The Living Legends and Idea, and, you know, like, and they all talked about, like, really personal issues that I thought I was alone in the world experiencing until I heard them, you know. I'll never forget when I heard underground hip-hop for the first time. I was like, oh my God, like, this is so much better than the stuff on the radio. Like, how come this is not on the radio? And then I realized that the masses don't want to talk about things like this, you know, and it's easier to market stupid, simple shit to most people because that's what most people are attracted to, you know. But you know, as I got deeper into music, I just really appreciated that, and I felt like I wasn't alone. And I feel like that's why a lot of people like my music, because that's what they tell me. They're like, when I hear your music, it makes me realize I'm not alone in the world. And I'm like, you know what? Every time somebody tells me that, it does the same thing for me. You know, like, I'm like, yeah, like, that's one more person that understands me. Like, that's one more person that maybe I'm not crazy, you know? Maybe we're all fucking crazy, you know? I don't know which one it is. But I think that's why. I'm just being myself, you know? Luckily, people like what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm really lucky. You know, I'm really... I never knew that it was going to be like this ever in my life. When I first started recording my music, would I ever think anyone was going to even like it, let alone to be touring now? It's fucking crazy. It's amazing. It's really dope. And everyone out there could do it, whoever's listening. If I could do it, you could do it.
I think, yeah, what she said. No, but honestly, I feel the same, you know, when I started... when I bought turntables, I really just bought them to have them as a stereo, you know, or instead of a stereo.
That's cool.
But and I was like, yeah, fuck it. If I don't learn, that's what it's gonna be. Shit, like, fuck a stereo. Like, I'm gonna have turntables, you know. But yeah, I actually really loved it, and I think that's what stems from that, like, just being honest with, it's like a relationship, you know, like, the more honest and, like, the more loving you are, the better the relationship is going to be, you know, and you don't really have to fake anything or, you know, you just be yourself and, like, and be willing to let people see this emotion from you, you know, because it would be an honest one, and people are more receptive to that. Some people that want to escape the everyday life of, you know, commercial and this and that, like, they find something. I feel like it's like a treasure, you know. You're like, man, for so long, I know this, but it's like, what is this, you know? Like, it's like you finally found this one love that you really enjoy, you know. So that's how I feel, you know? Like, it's really tight. I like it.
That was beautifully said. Thank you.
Are there songs you don't want to play anymore?
I mean, shit, every song. Yeah, man, shit, like... yeah, every song, And I'm really honest with my music. And so it is hard for me to perform. I just made a tweet about this the other day, actually. I was like, every time I perform, like, not every time, but you know how life is. Sometimes you're in a good mood and sometimes you're not, you know? And on the days where I'm not in a good mood, if it's over some emotional shit, like, I'm trying not to cry when I'm singing my songs, you know? And sometimes I do cry when I'm singing, like, and I'll just, like, keep my eyes closed until the tears dry. Like, and nobody's just gonna know I'm crying, like, you know? Or, like... A couple times, like, I've, like, broken down on stage and started crying. Like, I think it's only happened twice. Oh, you know what? It's happened three times. And one of the times is because one of my friends passed away. One of my friends died, like, the day before. And it was just, like, really emotional for me to do anything. And so when I was performing a song, I was thinking about my friend, and I just started crying, like, in the middle of this, my show, like, and I was like, And it was like one of the smallest shows I've ever had. There was probably like 10 guests. And then there was like 10 of us there for the tour. So it was like 20 people there. And I just started crying. And I had to leave. I said, I'm sorry, I have to go. And I put down the mic and I went to the bathroom and I just cried. So it's hard for me sometimes. And then the other time, one of the times I was just fighting with one of my loved ones, and I just was thinking about them while I was performing, and I just started crying. I was like, I started crying, and I was so pissed because it's embarrassing, you know? It's embarrassing to cry. I don't like crying in front of people. So it was embarrassing. And then the worst time when it happened, oh my God, is because I was performing at the Cypher Effect show actually last year. And my song On the Road, have you guys heard my song On the Road, right? So in the end, I say something like, or I don't know what part of the song it is, but I say how my daddy moved away and my mama beating me and how I just don't even want to live life. Something like that. Something like that. It just reminded me of like when I was small and my dad left me and my mom and my brothers, and my mom used to beat the shit out of us, you know, and I forgave both of them for that. I'm not mad about that anymore. Like I've made peace with that, and it feels great to have that peace. But they were both there at that show, and my parents were never got along when we were young. Like after the divorce, it was a horrible divorce, and my whole life I grew up with them talking shit about each other. It was a really confusing relationship, you know. Very recently have they become friends, and it's really cool, you know. But they only became friends after going through years of talking shit about each other, and me and my brothers getting in all kinds of trouble, and they finally realized, oh shit, we need to be cool because our kids are having a lot of fucking problems and we're not going to solve them unless we're cool, you know? And so, you know, life's funny. That's just how they started getting along. But they get along now, but when they barely started getting along, it was when I was already like 19 years old or something like that. So my mom, and when that happened, my mom moved to Seattle, to Washington. My mom doesn't live in California. So I hardly ever see my mom anymore. But she flew to Los Angeles that weekend because it was her birthday weekend, and then she was gonna go to our show. And my mom has never seen me do like a, you know what, she saw me do one big show before, but not like this. This was like a big show, and she hasn't seen me perform for years. And like since the last show she's seen me perform was probably in front of 40 people. And then this show, the Cypher Effect, I think there was like 2,000 people there or something like that. Like it was a shitload of people. Anyway, so my mom was there visiting California, which already I'm emotional because my mom's there, and you know, my mom gets to see me do this crazy shit, you know. And then my dad was there too, you know. And my dad goes to a lot of my shows because he lives in California. But it was just crazy to see them both together there, you know. And they're obviously in divorce. My dad is remarried and stuff. I love my stepmom, but just to see them together like that, like just like as friends, like just two people getting along, looking at their kids doing this crazy music shit, you know. Like I was doing that song, and then I look back and I saw my mom and my dad there, and then I saw like 2,000 people in front of me like singing my song, and I was just like just tripping out at this moment in my life. It was one of the craziest moments in my life. And I just got emotional because I'm thinking about what I'm saying about my mom and my dad and how I wanted to fucking die, you know, just like when I was young all the time, I didn't want to be here. And to see where I was now at that moment, I just like broke and I started like crying in the middle of the verse. And then at the end of the verse, I started like crying on the mic. I was like, I put the mic down and I turned around and I was like wiping my tears, and then the crowd was just fucking going crazy. They were like, "Wow!" And like the more I heard them crying, they heard them chanting, so I was crying more. Like, "Oh my god!" Like, it was like a movie. Like, and the louder I cried, the louder they screamed. Like, and they were screaming for like fucking like a minute. Like, it was fucking nuts. And then it was just crazy. So it was a really cool moment. You know, like it was cool that. It was embarrassing that I started crying, but like my fans just saving the day like that made me even just like, oh my God, like just felt so good about it. That was probably one of my favorite moments ever in my career, actually. Shout out to everybody that was at that fucking show. It was so dope. It was so dope. And it was so dumb. Like some people were like, did you cry on purpose? I'm like, are you fucking stupid? Like, no, I didn't cry on purpose. Like, what? People be asking dumb questions like that. Like, I mean, but I guess a lot of artists do like gimmicky shit during their sets and shit, but my shit, is real. Like, I'm not trying to, I don't need to, like, you know, yeah, I don't need a fake cry. Like, come on, like. But it's definitely emotional performing my songs. Like, it's always emotional. Even when I'm in a good mood, sometimes it's like, because a lot of my songs are sad, you know, and I just kind of, sometimes I go back to that moment where I wrote the song, or I start thinking about the person who the song is about, or who the song relates to now, you know, like, so. But it's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I only have one more question. What was the moment when you realized you're big, you're popular, you have a big fan base? What was that moment when you realized that?
Well, it's kind of been like a progressively happening moment. It's not really like, it's been like also like a really confusing thing to accept, you know, because being like known and like having like fame and stuff is always different for everyone, you know. Everyone, it comes to everyone differently, and it takes time for, like, the time that it happens to people is different, and mine has been a progressive one, but it also has been a quick progress. And it's hard for me because I don't like being the center of attention, you know, and I have become to be a center of attention, so it's hard for me in that sense. And with that being said, I think that's also why I don't really know when it was specifically that I felt like I was famous or whatever you want to call it, because I also have denied that for so long that it is happening to me because it makes me uncomfortable. I finally, like, barely within like the last 6 months or so, I am becoming more comfortable with it. Up until like a few months ago, it gave me a lot of anxiety and I didn't like it at all, and it was hard for me. But I have finally accepted that this is my life and this is how it's going to be, and I need to just move forward, you know, like, I can't be scared of it. I have to take all the consequences that it comes along with and just keep pushing. But I guess, like, over the years, like, I guess, like, the little steps have been like one small thing is like getting recognized out on the streets. Like, I remember, like, I don't remember the first time I ever got recognized, but I remember it would happen like every like 6 months or something, you know. And I would tell my dad, I would talk to my dad, like, guess what? Somebody recognized me today on the street. Like, and it was crazy. Like, oh my God, it's so crazy. And now, like, at home in LA, I get recognized almost every single day. Like, if I leave my house and I go anywhere other than to someone else's house, like, I'm gonna get recognized, like, every day. So that now I don't call my dad anymore, because now I'm like, oh yeah, somebody recognized me. And they're like, oh, you know, that person recognized you. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, you know, like, now it's like regular, you know. Like, but I guess that was definitely like a thing, like, getting recognized, like, oh shit, like, people recognize me on the street, like, I better look good when I leave the house. You know, like, you know. Or like, I guess, like, another big thing is like the statistics online, you know, like, a lot of, like, for example, I think this year has been probably the biggest year for me in my career. I feel like I've hit like so many like big milestones and shit this year in my career, like, and so then, like, also, like, seeing those milestones is like a, you know, I have, like, it helps me accept what's happening, you know. Like, I hit 100,000 on my Facebook, 100,000 likes on my Facebook this year. So that was like big. That was like, now I'm like, I can't, like, deny that shit. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, I need to just, like, give it my all. You know, if this many people are listening, like, I need to step it up. Or, like, playing, like, my first festivals in Europe, you know, like, that was fucking crazy. Like, I've never done shit like that before. So that was another big, like, damn, like, big moment. And, like, and also, Merz is following me on Twitter. But Merz, that's been the homie for a minute, you know. But also Atmosphere, that fool followed me. I mean, they follow me on Twitter this year. I was like, oh my God. I was like so, so happy. So that was like a big thing for me, you know. So, like, I don't know, just like little big things like that, you know, just like, I guess over the years have said that to me, I guess. I don't know how to say it. It's confusing. That stuff's confusing, like fame and shit. Yeah. It's not like a, because I wasn't like ever like a person that wanted to be the center of attention, and I never was like, oh my God, I want to be famous, and, you know, like, and just kind of like happened. So it's, I think a lot of it, me not knowing when it happened that I guess I would call myself famous is the fact that I was denying it to myself for so long, you know? Like, I don't really know when it happened because I didn't want it, you know? Like, but now it's here, so I can be okay with it.
And that's it for this month's episode of Doper Than Dope. Please go and check out Reverie's music. You won't be disappointed. Also, at the time of this podcast's release, Reverie and DJ Lala are on tour in Europe, so go ahead and check their tour dates. Maybe they do a show close to your city. I only wish I could interview Reverie again, and luckily, sometimes wishes can come true. I will be talking to her again in just a couple of days, and of course I'm gonna share that with y'all on a later date. Thanks for tuning into Doper Than Dope. My name is Nifty MC. I hope you stick around for next month's episode. Take care. Bye.